Hi, everybody. So today we launched this new series called Things Jesus Never Said. And I'm going to give you the answer to that quiz now. So remember, we asked which movies these famous quotes were from. Play it again, Sam Houston, we have a problem. Mirror, mirror on the wall, who is the fairest of them all? And Luke, I am your father. And hopefully you said Casablanca, Apollo 13, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, and The Empire Strikes Back. And if you did, well, you'd be wrong. Because actually, they're all misquotes. And I just want to say a huge well done to Ed and to Stephen and to Gavin and to others who spotted and who have commented on the live chat that these are actually all misquotes from films. You're absolutely right, they are. You know, we know or think we know or think we remember these lines from these famous movies, but they are all movie misquotes. Play it again, Sam, was never said in Casablanca. And Mirror, Mirror on the Wall, who was actually Magic Mirror on the Wall. Who is the fairest of them all? It's easy, isn't it, to misquote people or even misquote lines from movies. And today we start a new series called Things Jesus Never Said. Because, you know, Jesus has often been misquoted too, from things like do unto others before they do it unto you, to Monty Python's famous blessed are the cheesemakers. And today we want to start by taking a look at what Jesus did or didn't say about truth. Now, I don't know if you remember, but a few years ago, there was this whole kind of big trend with these pictures that came out that just looked like a load of confusion and mess. But if you stared at them for long enough, or just stared at them in a certain way, you could see another picture hidden within it. Those used to really frustrate me, those pictures, because I could never see the hidden thing. I don't know what it was about me, but I could never see the hidden thing when other people could. But it strikes me that our world feels like that sometimes, and maybe more so now than ever, with distractions and confusions and so many different opinions and perspectives and fake news. It can feel like it's really difficult amidst all of that noise to cut through to what is right and true. Do you ever just wish you could know what was true and what wasn't? Do you ever just wish, in the midst of all the fake news and the perceptions and the worldviews, you could just cut through to something that was true, something worth building a life on, something that could be a foundation for your life? And we often hear these days, your truth is what matters. The implication there is that truth can be whatever you want it to be, whatever works for you. You can redefine truth to be what makes you happy or the stuff that you agree with. The problem with that is that it doesn't make things better. You only have to look at how divided we are across the world over so many issues to see that just holding on to our version of truth isn't making things better. The problem with truth being whatever we want it to be is that it pits us against one another, my truth against your truth. The problem with that is it can leave us wondering what reality really is and if there is anything that we can trust. Do you ever wish you could just see the nub of truth in the sea of confusion? And do you ever ask this question, what is truth? Well, I want to look today at someone who asked this question, what is truth, at this pivotal moment in the history of the world. A little bit of background. When Jesus was arrested 2,000 years ago, there were charges brought against him by the religious leaders. They take Jesus to the governing authorities of the day, to the Romans, and in particular to a man called Pilate, who was in charge of the region. And Jesus is going to be put on trial by Pilate. And we're going to read from a little section of that trial. And we're going to read it in John's account of Jesus' life in the New Testament. And John was a bystander to the life of Jesus. And we're going to read from chapter 18, verses 33 to 38 of John's account. We have a YouVersion live event right now. If you go onto the YouVersion Bible app on your phone or your tablet, you can see a YouVersion live event for Andover Baptist Church. And you can follow along if you want. But we're also going to put the text up on the screen behind me so you can follow along there too. And as we'll see in this account, Pilate is asking this same question that we so often are asked. What is truth? How do I cut through the noise and the distraction of all that's going on to find the truth? So we're going to drill down onto this into a lot more detail. Now we reach a point in the life of Jesus where the religious leaders of the day were after him. They wanted him gone from the scene. He'd challenged them, he'd pointed out their hypocrisy, he'd confronted them, and they'd had enough. But they needed help, because the authorities of the day, who were the occupying Romans, wouldn't allow anyone else to do their killing. They couldn't execute Jesus without help from the occupying Romans. So these religious leaders, this was their perspective, if you like. This was the view that they were coming from. This was the angle that they were coming from to all of this, that they needed help. They wanted to kill Jesus, but they needed help. So they arrested him and took him to their highest religious court, the Sanhedrin. But because it didn't have the power of capital punishment, if they were going to get Jesus killed, they needed to enlist the help of the Roman authorities, and in particular, the Roman governor of the region. And he was called Pontius Pilate. And Pilate was the fifth governor, the fifth Roman governor of the province of Judea, in which all of this is taking place. And he ruled from AD 26 to AD 36, which allows us to accurately date when all of this happened. And the Jewish and Greek historians of the day tell us a huge amount about Pilate, most of which is really critical of him. He was a brutal ruler with frequent atrocities being committed in his name over those that he ruled. And Pilate had angered Caesar, the Roman emperor, by previously overseeing a merciless slaughter of Jewish rebels. So he was keen not to anger the Jewish leaders and get in trouble with Rome again. So that was Pilate's perspective. That was Pilate's worldview. That was the angle that he was coming from as part of the Roman hierarchy and the Roman structure, but being keen not to upset or anger his bosses. But the religious leaders needed him to get Jesus. So they bring Jesus to him. And this is where we pick up the story in John chapter 18, verses 33 onwards. Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Now, when Pilate asked Jesus this question, "Are you the king of the Jews?" this was a really loaded question, and it gives us an insight into what's going on in Pilate's mind and in his worldview, because it's full of political meaning. Because Pilate would not have been interested in what he would have perceived to have been a local religious squabble. But if someone was claiming to be a political king, well, that was altogether different. Rome hadn't authorized a king, and any form of political rebellion was squashed immediately and harshly. And remember, Pilate didn't want to get into any more trouble with Caesar and with Rome. So he didn't want to do anything to upset the religious authorities, but he also didn't want to go against the law. That was his angle. So he asks this question. But where does he get the idea to ask about being king of the Jews? Well, people had been talking to him and planting thoughts in his head that Jesus might be a political revolutionary. And Jesus spots that straight away. Look at what happens in verse 34. Jesus says, "Is that your own idea?" Jesus asked, "or did others talk to you about me?" You see, others have been gossiping about Jesus. They've been talking about him behind their back, probably with their version of the truth about Jesus, their perception of Jesus, but not necessarily the reality of who Jesus really was. So they were poisoning Pilate against him. Pilate responds, "Am I a Jew?" Pilate replied, "Your own people and chief priests have handed you over to me. What is it that you've done?" See, Pilate isn't interested in all this. He isn't interested in what he might perceive to be a simple religious squabble. So he's trying to probe to get to the truth of what's going on. But Jesus deflects him with a really interesting question, says this. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place." Jesus says, look, if I'm a political revolutionary, then his followers, my followers, would have fought against my arrest. Jesus is saying that his kingdom is different to the kingdoms of the world. His kingdom hasn't originated in this world. And he's not a rival to Rome and to the Roman authorities. And the true test of the nature of Jesus' kingdom can be seen in the behavior of his followers. They haven't engaged in combat or struggle against the Roman rule. But Pilate, because he's kind of stuck in this place, he's stuck with these different angles and these different distractions and all this noise coming from all these different people, Pilate presses on looking for a confession. "You are a king then," said Pilate. "This will get me out of all of this, because you are a king, and if you are a political king, then I can hand you over to be killed and I won't get in trouble." You see, Pilate's truth is that he can't afford to upset the religious leaders and he can't afford to upset the Roman authorities. So he's stuck and he's frantically looking for this way out. Now, in that previous verse, Jesus says what his kingdom is not. But here, now, he talks about what the kingdom is, what his kingdom is like. Jesus answered, "You say that I am king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." Jesus says, "Look, I've come to show the truth, to cut through the noise and the distraction, and to let people see the truth about God." Jesus has come to unveil the truth to the world, not only to point out true things as he finds them, but to unveil himself, the way, the truth, and the life. Truth is what we see when we see God. You see, Jesus doesn't have an angle, doesn't have an agenda, doesn't have his own version of the truth. He simply wants to point to God, to the truth that can be found in God, whatever that costs him, whatever that means comes Jesus' way. He simply wants to point to the truth. And actually, in talking in this way, Jesus is posing a different kind of challenge to Pilate. Jesus' revelation that truth can be found in him serves as an invitation to Pilate to join him. See, for Pilate to condemn Jesus is for him to condemn the truth. And Jesus has therefore reversed positions with Pilate. And he's placed Pilate in a position where Pilate needs to decide who Jesus is and what that's going to mean for his life. And Pilate responds rather cynically, "What is truth?" retorted Pilate. With this, he went out again to the Jews gathered there and said, "I find no basis for a charge against him." See, Pilate responds with this cynical question to kind of squirm out of the challenge that Jesus has laid before him. What is truth? And by the way, that's a question Jesus didn't need to ask, because Jesus knew what truth is and was, and it can be found in God. And this whole section finishes with Pilate coming out and saying that he does not see here a man who threatens Rome or who qualifies as a terrorist, but he does stop short of joining Jesus in the truth. He stops short of pursuing that, because instead his own worldview, his own agenda, his own perceptions, his own beliefs distract him and cloud the picture. What is truth? Well, we often ask that question, don't we? When we're trying to cut through the noise, the distractions, the competing worldviews that vie for our attention, when we're trying to find answers to life's big questions or trying to find purpose and meaning, what is the truth, we ask ourselves? Well, Jesus didn't have to ask that question, because he knew. He knew that the most important truth could be found in God and found in him. And in a world of noise and distraction and fake news, Jesus pointed to the truth of God and of God's kingdom. He cut through the confusion and pointed to the truth. And you know, it's not always popular or fashionable to claim to know truth. It wasn't popular or fashionable for Jesus standing before Pilate to claim to know truth, but Jesus claimed it anyway. And in a world of fake news, of competing agendas, surely we need to regain a desire to find truth again. And not our version of the truth. Not just our own opinions and our own agendas, but real facts that can actually change the way things are. I think that only God can really lead us to see truth. And he sent Jesus to display truth to us. You know, the Jewish leaders and Pilate were too distracted and concerned by their own agendas and their own perceptions and their own needs and their own worldviews to really cut through to the truth. And how tempting it must have been for Jesus to do the same, given that he was on trial for his life. But Jesus refused to give in and instead kept pointing to the truth that is in God. And it cost him his life. But in giving his life, he made a way for us to see the truth of who God is. and what he's prepared to do to meet with us. You know, Jesus was given over to Pilate to be tried, and then later Pilate capitulated and sent Jesus to be crucified. But in his death and resurrection 3 days after his crucifixion, Jesus revealed the most important truth of all, that we can be saved and set free by God who loves us. You know, Jesus never said, "Your truth is what matters," because the truth that matters more than any other can be found in him, and he knew it, and he pointed to it, and it can be found in his heavenly Father, and it can be found in the cross and in the resurrection of that same Jesus. So it's my hope and my prayer for all of us today that we will cut through the noise and the distraction and the competing agendas and our own worldviews, and we will see beyond all of that to this truth that God loves us, that Jesus came to point to that truth, and he made a way for us to discover it. And we need that more than ever before, I reckon. So if you're watching this, and maybe you've been a Jesus follower for a long time, I hope and pray this morning that this will have been a reminder to you of the wonderful truth that can be found in him, and that even in these tough days, we will continue to look to him to cut through all the noise and to remind us of just how God feels about us. And if you're not a Jesus follower, but if you're anxious and looking for something to hold on to, for a truth, a reality that's worth building your life upon, that you'll investigate Jesus. You investigate what he said and what he did, and that in him you'll find a truth that is more special and more fabulous than anything else. And I just want to say, if that is you, we can help you with that. Just message us and we'd love to have a conversation with you about that, and we'd love to point you to some great resources that can help you with that investigation. But now for all of us, I'm going to pray that today, whenever it is that we're watching this, that we would know this powerful sense that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that true life can be found in him. Let's pray. Lord God, we confess to you that, you know, the world crowds in on us, our own agendas crowd in on us, the noise, the distraction, the worry, the anxiety, the fear sometimes, it all crowds in on us and creates an angle from which we approach things. We confess to you that sometimes this idea of truth being whatever we want it to be appeals to us, because then we can do our own thing and never be challenged. But we also recognize that this idea that our truth can be whatever we want it to be is actually destroying us, destroying relationships, destroying our world, dividing us. Lord God, I thank you that in you there is an objective truth of love, of forgiveness, of being set free, that the fact that Jesus went to the cross and that he rose again is evidence of that truth. And Lord God, I pray for each and every one of us today that we would know that as a reality, maybe for the first time in our lives or maybe again in our lives, and that we would cling on to that and allow that to steer us through the noise and the distraction of our world. Amen.